Howdy, y'all.
We're here with the bro.
I'm the bro now. Simon, I feel like I've stayed on your couch long enough to be the bro.
Yeah. Wait till you hear.
You're gonna come in hot? Dude, of course. You're gonna come in hot?
This is why you're here, brother.
What is it? You wanna give a little backstory first about what, like how
we discussed it on the pod, but yes.
I heard about that.
Phil Madden on your
I could fart really long. And it's been a superpower amongst me and my friends. It's been a joke forever. And I had a 17-second fart that I've had recorded on my iPhone for about 10 years that I've shared with my friends. And I just beat my record. And I sent it to him. He didn't respond.
I didn't open it.
He didn't open it for a couple of times. I'm like, there's no way he didn't listen. Because we were kind of bonding on farts here on the couch.
Yeah, of course.
And there we go. Perfect timing. And I think farts are funny because even the person doing it doesn't know what it's going to sound like. It's always a pleasure.
That's true.
And if they don't stink, it's a win-win. And mine don't stink for some reason, then they're very long. So I bet
my match.
You might be the chosen one.
You're the last airbender.
Yeah.
This is textbook airbending.
What did your record come out to be? You said 20 something seconds?
It's about 20 seconds. We could have some little time.
This is timed.
Yeah, it's on time.
In the middle of this fart, it becomes a Geiger counter for radiation. Like, wait till you fucking hear this thing, dude.
Hey, dude, real quick. No way. Oh my God.
All right, that's my time, folks. Yeah,
I should just like, where do I go from there?
We don't have to put that on.
No, I love it. But how do I follow that? I got to just go
call
home
Guinness.
Now.
No, you got to call Guinness.
You got to get a hold of Guinness.
Guinness Book of World Records.
No, there's actually, I remember on Howard Stern, there was the dude who put his head. There was that guy who could do it for like a minute. He had the Anyway, it's a gift and a curse.
That's crazy. It sounds like when aliens crackle through NASA equipment.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. I'm tapping into some alien.
You've been able to do that forever?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn, that's awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
I mean, that's like if you were a high school stoner stash and you ripped that, that's the apocalypse.
And remember in high school, those plastic seats, you could get the angle and just rip off them. But yeah, I'm proud and slash embarrassed. I own it. It's a gift. It's a gift. Recently got a colonoscopy because all my friends like, dude, you got serious problems. Like, you should go. Yeah. So a year ago at 48, I went to get my colonoscopy. I'm like, dude, it's going to be bad. You know, they put the camera up your ass or whatever they do. And I was fine. It's just no cancerous polyps, nothing like that. It was just, I rip.
That's just haters, though. That's haters. When you fart real good, haters will be like, you got a fucked up ass disease. You're like, bro, stop hating on me.
I hate when people hate on a fart. When they're like, crazy. Oh, that sounded wet. You shit your pants. Yeah. Like, don't put that on me.
Yeah, man.
I just farted well.
You didn't fart. Yeah. They're just jealous. They didn't
Everybody's jealous they can't fart like that.
Yeah, and people that don't laugh at farts, it's like, fuck you. You know, if you can't laugh at that, it's just...
Simon, we've covered this probably every other episode for the last 7 years, but you're exactly right. People not laughing at farts is...
They're pedophiles.
Those are pedophiles.
The only time you don't laugh at a fart is you're thinking about trapping a kid. Yeah. You're like, wait, what was that? Did you just...
You get interrupted from...
Somebody just moved furniture.
Yeah, it's not American. I mean...
Yeah.
So you're a stern nun. Stern nun, I could see her not being stoked on a hard fart, but... Like a dude being like, excuse me.
I know. Right?
What the heck?
And then, of course, when you're in a relationship, the fart bear, you're like, you hold them in for the honeymoon phase. Then eventually, when it comes out, that's a glorious time when it's kind of like, and then the girl's looking
at you. Yeah, you showed me that. You put together a compilation.
Oh my God. That's,
you put together a major compilation. Dude. He is a fart cop.
Dude. What a trooper she was too. Yeah. That's kind of a good, is it litmus test? Is that the word?
Yeah.
Can they hang or not? Or, you know, because that's fun. Once you could do that.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I become a stern nun myself if the girl farts.
No, dude.
I become a bit of a stern nun.
So is that sexist? I don't know, because my ex-girlfriend got really comfortable and she ripped one once. I was like, no. Never again.
Different.
Never again.
It's infuriating, dude. Yeah.
Never again. That's for the boys.
Stink, dude. They stink.
That's for the boys.
Yeah, theirs are so bad. I get furious. If I smell my wife's fart, I'm mad. I'm like, yeah. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, it's fucking gross.
Last night, I actually got up and farted in the bathroom because I had like hot, terrible ones. So I did her the service.
Hot farts, dude.
I might have to. She always like, you go to your ass.
Dragon's breath.
Yeah. But yeah, you got to, girls shouldn't fart ever. Unless they're with amongst them each other. I think women should only fart in women company and guys should just carte blanche.
Yeah.
Yes.
All day, every day.
Guys should fart at the most inopportune times.
Yeah. It's not sexy when girls do it.
It's not sexy
no,
at all.
Let's be real.
When a guy does it, it is sexy.
So sexy.
Let's be honest.
They should have one of those cologne commercials where the guy's just like going through a meadow.
By the way, I saw Dune 2. It's just a fucking cologne commercial.
Oh, stop. I love Dune 2.
I loved it. But what, it's what a 3-hour fucking cologne commercial. The fucking black and white gladiator scene.
That was sick.
It was awesome, but it was just a cologne commercial. When he was walking in the tunnel with the girl after, I was like, oh man, I've loved this movie for 5 hours. This is a fucking cologne commercial. It is. It's Chalamet. Like.
Yeah, the black and white parts, the gladiator arena.
Yeah.
It starts in there. Yeah, that movie was so fucking sick.
Movie is sick.
That is funny though. That absolutely was shot. Like
it was a cologne commercial.
I was trying to put my finger on it. I was like, damn, that was crazy. Like, what was that? Like, yeah. How did they do that? It looked nuts, but it definitely was a cologne commercial.
Yeah, they did a cologne commercial. Guy without eyebrows, hot, walking around.
That was Elvis.
Yeah, Elvis was nice in that.
Yeah, Elvis was very good at that. Very evil.
He was a little evil man.
He was. Dude, it was. I watched that on, I think, Saturday, and in my all day in my head, I was just like, yeah, I'm Dune.
You are Dune.
I am Dune.
Because like, I can't remember one character's name. Michael, I am Dune.
I kept trying to be like, I'm the
Paul
average.
Paul is the only name, dude. It's Paul.
You know Dune's an acronym. Desert Underground Necrophiliac Entertainment Society. we've been on an acronym thing lately. Society. You just dropped the S. So
what I like about Simon is when you hang out with Simon, he's done stuff. You're geez. 48's crazy.
49. Oh, I'm 49.
You're 49.
I have the body of a 48-year-old.
You look great.
I feel great.
You look fantastic.
I feel incredible. Thank you. No wife, no kids, maybe?
Yeah, true.
But just the things you've done.
I lived a while. Like, I think I just did the right drugs. Like, I didn't do the... I was into stoner. So I was never into, like, blow and all the things that'll make you a lot of alcohol. I was more into, like, popping a Xanny and smoking weed. So I think it just slowed me down instead of, like...
Yeah.
I think. Or it's just genetics. I don't know. But thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
The music career, the like all that
dirt
stuff.
Dirt Nasty. Yeah, when I toured as Dirt Nasty, because I basically lived your guys' life. Like I did, Matt, I don't know if you know, I did a music comedy character for years called Dirt Nasty, fitting for the opening fart. And and I lived on the road touring and, you know, driving from fucking Chicago to Detroit overnight show. And then it became to the point I was doing it in my 30s and I was like, fuck, this is something for a guy in his 20s. I'm too old for this. At 30, I was thinking that. And I did it for about 10 years. And it got to the point where, you know, you do drink on the road and you'd look at the tour schedule. It's like, okay, I'm in Detroit Thursday, Chicago Friday. I won't drink on, I'll drink in Chicago. You got to like figure out because there's no way you could hit it every night. And then one time I did a show and I filled my Jack Daniels bottle with apple juice and I'm pounding it on stage, pretending to be drunk because I couldn't drink every night. And a fan grabbed the bottle and pounded it and just looked at me like, you fraud. Oh. Like the moment he just might, like, my hero is a fucking fraud because he knew it was apple juice. So I had to fake it sometimes. And then I realized fake drunk was even better because I was fully in control, but acting drunk because the persona was like, hey, I'm fucked up. Yeah.
Damn, that's pretty impressive, though. To fake drunk that hard for all those people was pretty nuts.
It was fun.
Yeah,
I'm sure
liberating. It's freeing, yeah.
And then you go to bed, like, you're fine. And like,
it's like when people drink NA beers and they're like, I actually feel
a little, they feel the
like
vibe.
I feel like I'm having fun.
That's like a placebo kind of situation. Yeah. And there is a little bit of alcohol. Just like my stepdad was an alcoholic growing up and he would drink a 12-pack of Mir beers in the 80s. And he's like, I'm buzzed. Yeah. He'd be like, I'm buzzed.
That's pretty nice. You put the governor on him, though. You just put a governor on him. You're like, all right, you guys can only get
12 NA beers. Is so fucked up. He has an NA beer belly.
Yeah.
That's fucking sick, dude.
Yeah, so I relate to you comics, and I'm such a comic fan. I just, like, I'm a comedy nerd, and I understand the road. And, like, you came home last night from Chicago 3 nights in a row. You just had SNL. Yeah. I'm just like, you came home and slept 10 hours. I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, it was nice.
The road will fuck you up.
I meant to ask you that. You're fully settled down now. Your nervous system was, like,
I mean, Chicago was very nice compared to the last 2 weeks.
True, yeah.
Yeah. That was... Also, I didn't get to say it before publicly. Thank you, dude. When you were at SNL?
Wow, dude, that was
that helped me a lot.
That was a blast.
You
man.
Were such a nice...
I was nervous.
You were my rock, dude. You were my anchor.
Thank you, brother. Oh, you
went
that.
With them? Cool.
You were with cool. me. And everybody else is sitting there like, this is what you need to do. This is you got to do this. You got to do this. Like, don't read the cards. Read it. Like, do this. Dude. And Matt was just like, this is crazy how good you are.
Like, that's awesome. That's
like,
good.
Fuck
to have
yeah,
him.
Thanks,
yeah.
dude.
I'm serious. I was
the
impressed.
One person that was like, this is crazy.
Well, it was funny, too, because yeah. I was like, do you remember any of that? You're like, no. There was like oh. seven people came in, like, look to the camera, look left, read this line, and we're going to scratch that word. Remember we took that word out? And I was like, do you remember that?
No, I was just standing there going.
None of it.
Yeah, all right.
That was crazy, though.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Just from like a psychological point of view, it's like you're about to go on, and then just to have you rushed with 50 fucking people giving you like minor, tiny critiques. It's like, dude, that's not. That doesn't put someone in a good headspace.
I don't remember one thing of that. Yeah.
I was nervous, like, walking into the building. I was like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Christ. In the building is scary.
It's intimidating. I got to go recently to see Pete when he hosted it recently, and it was magical just to be backstage and see how it all works. And, like, it was pretty cool.
It is cool when you walk in.
It was funny. Dude, when I went in, I had a – so I called Becky, and I was like, hey, how do I get in here? She, like, gave me, like – she was, like, directing me. So I'm, like, walking around getting, like, puppeted by her directions, and I go to this office, and I'm like – I'm here now to go to the dressing room. And they're like, what? And I was like, I don't know how this works. How do I get down there? They're like, oh, well, I guess they'll send somebody up for you. And I'm like, okay, cool. So like, okay, I'll just wait here. They're like, yeah. They looked at me like, wait, wherever the fuck you want, dude. We don't care. And I was like, right on. So then I just stood there like this. Like I'm probably holding like a bag or something. Like people with clipboards would come up and I'd be like, they would look at me like,
dude,
and just keep walking by him. Oh, there's my ride. Just be like,
I did it the entire time. I was the guy on the show, and I was going around like, I don't know where to go. Where do I go? Help!
It was so fucking funny just watching people walk by the clipboard,
giving them a smile.
Just kind of like, oh, you're here for me. Obviously, they'd look at me kind of like, what the fuck, and just walk away. I sit there for like 15 minutes, just going like.
Yeah, but you were extremely helpful. Well, every single other person was giving me fucking. Insane notes. You were just like, you're good.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I was like, hell yeah, thanks.
It was awesome.
I watched these two stoners didn't hate my set. They hated everything about me.
That's not true.
I saw these two dumbasses on the balcony. I'd look up at them. They were both gone.
That's not true. We were smiling from ear to ear.
They were worried the equipment was going to fall on them.
Yeah, I was scared that light was going
to go too high. You got afraid of the lights.
And we sat next to Questlove. He smelled so good. It was
Questlove
crazy.
Questlove smelled good?
It was, we were overstimulated.
You guys were next to him? Yeah. I think my theory was right, though. He did not laugh very much.
No, he liked you.
He laughed? He laughed. I take it back, Questlove.
Yeah. Quest laughed.
He smelled like a candle store.
Quest not laughing, dude. Quest hate. I looked up and I saw him. I saw him during my monologue not laughing. I was like, God damn it, Questlove.
Come on, Quest.
Quest laughed. One. He laughed at the end. I was like, sick.
Yeah, the stoners are too worried. I saw the machinery they were talking about, and I was like, yeah.
That's a scary room to be in if you're high. It was a fucking insane room.
It was funny at the dress where they didn't have your dad. You're like, that's my dad.
Yeah, it was
like,
just a random guy.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I got really stoned one time and went into a police station. So like I was getting when my wife was working for the Philly PD, she was like, I got to clean out all my stuff. And I was like, right on. I just like forgot we had to do that. So I ate a weed edible and I went into the precinct and I was just like, it was just so many guys with guns and everyone was so serious. And I was just walking around like, oh, fuck, man. I was like, you really should get out of
the
here.
Vibes,
this is a fucked
the
up.
The vibes are harsh.
The vibe is crazy, dude.
The vibe is the most harsh vibe.
It is
Philly
the
PD. Dude's like pointing guns at people all day.
Yeah, dude.
And getting shot at.
But then they just go sit down and they're just like in a room with guns with just, it's the, and a lot of them are like nice dudes, but they don't even know. They're stewing in the harshest vibe.
It's the harshest vibe.
It's crazy. It's like, imagine school principal is like the requirement for base level of the vibe.
Yeah. I briefly stewed in the harshest vibe when I was doing child fucking crime investigation. You remember that? Dude. So after I got back from, I lived in Spain for a little. I taught English over there. Not a big deal, dude. It was just me being cultured. And I got home and I didn't have a job forever. I thought I could just get a job. I thought getting a job was easy. And then my sister got me a job at Department of Human Services in Pennsylvania. She worked for like the welfare office in PA. So I got a job as like a contractor to investigate child crimes at child facilities. You know what I mean? Like, so if like a guard had to restrain a kid, I would go watch the tapes and be like, all right, that was a good restraint. Like, but it was just, you go to the office every day, you sit in the weirdest, like an office, like so terrible lighting, you and like ladies.
Whoa.
And then you leave every day to go like drive 2 hours to go to where a kid killed himself.
Oh.
And then talk to everybody there. That it's all like child rapists.
Jesus.
They're all kids that got raped that became rapists.
Damn.
Jesus.
In a facility living together. So all they're doing is it's just fucking, it's chaos.
Did you ever walk to one of the scenes with like headphones and classical music playing? Yeah. Classic detective.
What happened here was a guy who has the equivalency of a mall security, Goldberg speared a kid. I need to watch the tape.
Damn, you know, just going back a little bit, you know, cop, where the term cop comes from?
Here we go.
You know? I know where it actually comes from, the copper badge.
Copper badge.
Nice,
dude. Because they just had plain clothes back in the olden back.
Did they really?
And they didn't have outfits, so that's how you could tell a cop was the copper badge.
Damn, they're all plain clothes.
Yeah, copper.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know why they're called 5-0? Because they had Mustang 5.0s for a while, and the CHP would have the 5.0, and that's the one that'll get you. The high-speed chase was the 5.0, so they're 5.0. That was like a West Coast one, I think, more, because California Highway Patrol had Mustang 5.0 cops, and you're like, you don't want to.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because then they exciting. Went Dodge. They went, cops went hard Dodge.
They went
big Dodge heads right now.
Well,
were Ford Crown Vics for a while.
Yeah.
And now they're big, like, Dodge Challenger. Challenger versus Challenger right now. They're fighting fire with fire.
It is, dude. They're just all driving Challengers.
Just on different sides of the same coin, really.
Yeah, when you think about it.
They are just like cops. A lot of cops are Jeep heads, too. Jeep culture, cop culture is pretty synonymous.
God, cop cultures.
It's crazy. I can now, from knowing a lot of cops, I can tell an off-duty police officer, they drive one of like four cars. It's like a murdered out pickup truck, which Sean, your father, drives. It's a murdered out pickup truck. And then it's just like any car you see, we're like, who the fuck spent that much money at Pep Boys? It's just an off-duty police officer. It's just an off-duty police officer.
The fucking, yeah, the Punisher shield on there, Punisher skull on the back.
Oh, dude, you see the Punisher skull, you already know.
I'm pretty much an Iraqi war veteran.
And you could tell
I'm a cop in Mechanicsburg.
And you could tell undercover by their haircut and their shoes, usually.
I've heard that,
they
too.
They got the clean cut. You know, whenever I go get a haircut, I always say, don't give me the cop lines, because I don't want to look like a cop. No offense, cops.
For sure. It is harsh. You don't want to be called a narc at, like, a festival. Also, it is like, you'll get like dudes at festivals where there's like a 47-year-old white guy being like, yo, where could I score some ketamine?
Yeah.
You're like, dude.
Oh, that was me, actually. Yeah.
You don't look like an undercover cop.
You don't look
I don't
like
think
a cop.
So either.
You pull it off.
Yeah. Thank you. I'd like to play. That'd be fun to play a cop in a movie or something.
Yeah.
I think I could play a cop, but I don't have the essence of a cop. You know what I mean? You know, you're saying you have the essence of a football coach. I don't think I have cop energy.
Yeah.
You don't.
It's a different vibe. And there's nothing scarier than a dirty cop, because they're above the law, beyond like a dirty cop.
Yeah.
Scary. Who do you, you know what I'm saying? Like, because your dirty cop fucks with you. Or, like, one of my boys, he's been in and out of prison forever, and he was fucking a cop's wife and stole the cop's badge. And he was like showing it off to me. I'm like, dude, you are asking for a big problem.
You're going to jail forever.
Dude.
He'll kill you. Dude.
Yeah.
He'll kill
that's you. What I'm saying. You just don't do that.
Yeah, man.
Don't do that.
Fuck, sounds like a cool boy, though.
Yeah, he's my boy.
He was probably awesome.
He is awesome. And he's, yeah, I'd go visit him in prison, and it was always so gnarly. I'd visit him. He was in a prison called Wayside, which is near Magic Mountain in California. It's like this gnarly prison. And he would come out, I was like, out of the movies, and you talk to him through the thing, and like, he's just surrounded by killers. And he just had the craziest prison stories. I'd always ask him, like, dude, just tell me, you know, the shit that happened. I guess it's very race related in California. I think Texas is the same. Like, you got to stick with the whites, but he's Jewish, but he is white enough that they wanted him on the white side, but he had a Star of David tattoo on his back, and they covered it because they're like, you got to roll with us, but you can't have that Star of David.
Yeah.
So they covered it. So he was a soldier for the white boys.
Damn. Oh, wow.
As so, a Jewish guy.
That's yeah. I guess cool. You don't think about it. What do the Jews do?
Others.
Yeah. They're in the others.
It's others. Yeah.
Asian Pacific Islander Jews.
Jews. But yeah, you'd have to just go white. Because there are, there's a lot of wild ass Jew boys, dude.
Yeah, like, I'm half Jew, so I'm like a white
loco fucking
there's
Jew.
There's a loco ass Jew. No, I'm telling you, a lot of Jew, like, people don't think about it, but yeah, there's the underworld is chock full. like with drug dealing and stuff, a lot of like Jewish dudes rocking out pretty hard.
Yeah, they were like the OG mafias.
Yeah.
You know, what's his name? Who's the guy who rigged the World Series?
Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
Skip's not having a good time.
Come on,
right
you
now.
Guys got to know this. Lucky guy, Luciano and
Bugsy
him.
Bugsy Siegel?
Not Bugsy Siegel.
The, I know you're talking about the like OG Jewish mobster.
He was a beast.
Netanyahu?
Yes. Rossi.
There it is. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's pretty tight.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Damn, dude. Yeah, that's pretty tight. So what, your boy was in, like, he was engulfed in, like, West Coast prison politics?
Yeah. Yeah, he was in and out for years. He's been out for a while now, but it was just, like, I remember I'd go to trial with his family. I'd be sitting there with his dad, like, waiting to see how long. He was doing counterfeit money, and he was so good at counterfeit money that the feds interviewed him in an interrogation room, and they're like, we know you're working for some bigger operation. Like, who are you working for? He's like, no, I do this myself. And they're like, no, you don't. How do you do it? And he showed him how he does it with, like, literally Kinko's paper and Aquanet. And he makes the best bills, but he got greedy and he would do hundreds instead of doing 20s. So everywhere he goes, they'll hold up the 100 and look. And I'm like, why don't you just make 20s, man? What are you getting greedy? And I'd let him stay at my house. And sometimes I'd come home and I'd see a silhouette on my window of like these, he'd dry them on the window. So I'd see like these hundreds like that he pulled off and I'd call him. I'd be like, hey, dude, were you at my house like making counterfeit money? He's like, nah, man, I'd never do that. I'm like, dude, I'm looking at the hundreds on my window right now. Do me a favor. Don't do that. And really don't do that at my house.
Damn.
And yeah, and so that's a serious crime. And then he said the feds, when he proved that he made them himself, he said they stood up and applauded as like a joke, like you're the best.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh, catch me if you can, actually.
Yeah.
That'd be so hard not to do if you knew you could just make money.
They caught him.
I heard the Secret Service investigates that too. I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's a it was a federal thing. It's no joke.
Damn, dude. What a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, fake money is a tight hustle to get into.
Yeah, and then I guess another thing he said that in jail, the amount of time that you get for doing counterfeit and how much money you could make is way less time in prison than someone who moved like an ounce of coke across state lines would get way more time than someone like him who could make $100,000 in counterfeit and he'll do 5 years compared to someone getting 20 for moving an ounce. Damn. So it's like, oh, if you do want to do a crime, maybe go that way. You'll less time, money, not dealing with drugs. So true. I encourage everyone out there to do that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do something, yeah, it'd probably be a lot better. It's just funny because he's making them. There's probably so many people getting killed over them, too.
So gnarly.
You get found with the fake bills.
Oh, yeah.
People probably getting crushed. He should have just do a, why doesn't he do a little gentleman's version of it? Just like go get like free like groceries. You can go like get groceries.
Yeah, just get groceries.
The 10s and 20s, you could do them all day.
Yeah.
Be cool, but hopefully he's not doing that anymore.
No, he's good.
What else is he doing now?
He's good. He has a kid. He's chilling. He's older. He's he was just living the fast life. I remember one time I went over to his place and he had an ID and he was making he was peeling off the ID and putting a picture of himself in so he could have a fake ID. And so he took a Polaroid of himself and cut it out to put in there. And I realized the Polaroid he took of himself, his shirt was off. So as he like ironed over it, and I'm like, dude, do you notice anything weird about your picture right now? He's like, what? I'm like, you have no shirt on. You think you're in DMV with your shirt off? You fucking sicko. He's like, fuck.
Foreign motor vehicles?
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
All right, here we go, guys. Are we excited to tell you about these guys? Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? You can grow lemon, avocado, olive, or fig trees inside of your home on top of the wide variety of houseplants available. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. God damn, I could have used those guys, man.
That's nice.
Yeah, I do not have a green thumb.
I
need some plant consultants. The experts at Fast Growing Trees curate thousands of plants so you can find the perfect fit for your specific climate, location, and needs. Whether you're looking to add some privacy, shade, or natural beauty to your yard, Fast Growing Trees has in-house experts ready to help you make the right selection with growing and care advice available 24/7. You can talk to a plant expert about your soil type, landscape design, how to take care of your plants, and everything else you need. No green thumb required.
Wow.
Whoa.
I mean, they knew it.
They knew it, dude. They fucking know.
They're so good.
Right now, they have some of the best deals online, like up to half off on select plants. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code DRENCHED at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code DRENCHED at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code DRENCHED. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
They might apply.
Might. Okay.
Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, I guarantee it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Lemaire, sit the fuck down. Okay, he's just lurking, touching shit. To God. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Whoa.
You know?
Yeah, I need that.
Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Request the host to record their interaction with speech recognition technology, and please share as a part of the read. What?
The speech recognition?
Well, I'm gonna share you that. Get it. Please share as part of their read.
Yep. Share that.
Is that about us?
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
No, I'm sharing it. I think they just want us to be like, whoa, listen to my fucking
Yeah, it just shit. Says request the host to record their interaction with speech recognition technology, and please share as part
I'll
of
bring
their
it,
read.
I'll bring it next week, but it did tell me I sounded exactly like Antonio Banderas.
It knew it.
I said, oh my God, you sound exactly
you
like
You do
Antonio
have
Banderas.
A little bit of that.
I'm not bad. I'm decent at Spanish, but you know, I mean, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's your personal endorsement. I agree. Matt sounds like Antonio Banderas.
Thanks to the speech recognition program for real humans for real conversations.
Antonio Banderas. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is the equivalent of a full semester at college. God, take me back.
Yeah, really?
Can you imagine being in college now?
That's pretty tight. If you do Babbel for 15 hours, you get a blowjob from a co-ed.
Yeah, you get a blowjob from a fat co-ed that no one else would fuck. But hey, who cares? Everyone else is getting pussy. You're not. You might as well.
Well, if you pick up another language, you double your chances of getting pussy.
True.
Yo, what do you think about that?
Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold. That is not a Babbel endorsement. Babbel does not endorse Matt McCusker. Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Perfect. You gotta love that. All right. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/drenched. Get 55% off at babbel.com/drenched. Spelled babbel.com/drenched. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hell yeah. Oh, please also go to mattmccusker.com/dates for stand up. I'm going to be in Hyenas, Fort Worth, Texas, Chicago Improv, Funny Bone Comedy, Orlando, Florida, Las Vegas, Indianapolis, Philadelphia, and on and on and on. Thank you so much. Please go to mattmccusker.com.
Yes. You're doing Vegas?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, wise guys.
March 19th, Cap City. April 2nd.
Get in front of the camera if you can do that. Put your face in the camera. Get closer.
March 19th, Lemaire Lee, Cap City. Cap City.
Got his ass.
Andy's going to be there. Sean's going to be there. And also, Optimum Noctis, April 2nd. Matt's on it. Casey Rocketman's going to be there. It's going to be a good time.
That's going to be a good one. Yeah.
Please come to Helium Philly on April 10th if you can. Thank you.
ShaneMGillis.com. Also, check out Quentin Tarantino's 10th and final movie. I have the lead role in it.
No, I don't.
Yeah, no shirt. ID is sick.
Yeah, that's so sick. That's a holy grail. I always wanted to put tinfoil on my teeth and go to the DMV and just go full grill.
That would hurt.
Yeah, well, you can't bite down. You have to think, hold on a second.
Oh, yeah, tinfoil on the teeth.
Just grill.
We got to hit up Paul Wall, dude.
I know. Get a real grill.
We got to hit up Paul.
I was telling my wife, I want to get like a silver tooth. I feel like I could get one.
I got the diamond.
You got one? Damn, dude.
You got a diamond
tooth. Actually, my friend who I'm talking about, he's the one. We did it together. We went to a dentist in LA. And my friend's brother-in-law was a jeweler, so we went downtown, bought the diamond, took it to our dentist, and the dentist is like, all right, I'm going to drill a hole in your tooth and cement it in, and let's see what happens. And he did that for us, and mine's been in here since 05, and his fell out, and he swallowed it.
Oh, shit.
So he's shitting diamonds, baby, which is like a cult. There's got to be a joke in there somewhere.
Did he wait for the diamond?
I don't remember if he fished it out. I'm not sure about
that. Yeah, but dude.
Speaking of turds.
Yeah.
You know how last time we were talking about Bobby cutting his son's shit up?
Yeah.
So many people have reached out.
That was a big deal, yeah.
I couldn't believe how many people are doing this.
Oh, yes. How many people reached out to be doing it?
That are like, yeah, I did that.
What?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Had multiple people be like, yeah, yeah.
I just saw people saying that's crazy, that's insane.
It is
that's
insane, but there was way more people than I thought would reach out.
What is the point of doing that?
Bobby Kelly.
That's a good question.
That was my first concern. Bobby Kelly's son drops such large shit.
How old is kid?
10. Now you're onto the real problem.
10.
He's 10. He's 10 at this point.
Okay.
Bobby's still going back and cutting up his son's shit.
Is it because it clogs the toilet?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's the young Padawan. He could inherit the Fort Force. Force. Fuck.
I think I got some competition.
Yeah, so that's, I didn't know
but
so
yeah,
many people.
A lot of people reached out and were like, this.
I've seen one person in my life break up a turd, and it was a janitor at the high school.
Hilarious.
And he was like, I told you about this before, is when this guy I knew took a humongous dump, and it was like tiny balls. It was like corn kernel kind of thing looking. And it was just, literally, it looked like a small Nerf football. It was insane. And we were all, everyone would be like, yo, there's a turd in the bathroom. Go to the bathroom and check it out. So we'd all just be leaving from class. We were making like pilgrimage to this thing.
Yeah.
And then eventually, we
were circling it.
the janitor came by, like, all cool, like, I'm about to go break it up. And I was like, you're going to break it? And he's like, yeah, dude, you're going to bust it. Dude. He was like,
bust this
he was looking at
it's
us.
Too much of a distraction. Kid, we got to learn. We can't.
I just remember him being like, just another day, bro. Like, this is nothing. We were all just like, bro, it's crazy. You're going to go. Because we kept calling him St. George because he was going to fucking slay the dragon. He's a dragon slayer, yeah.
Do you guys piss on other people's shit in the toilet public?
Yes.
Obviously. Why do we do that?
You gotta clean the bowl.
That's our version of doing that.
True.
Cleaning it up. You think it'd be more effective. Sometimes the turds, they stick.
They will.
You'd think the hot piss would fucking get it.
I like the laser beam. If someone leaves some toilet paper, I like to laser cut the toilet paper if it's floating. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
I had an uncomfortable recently. I was on a plane and shitting on the plane is the worst. And
you do it?
I if you have to sometimes. This was months
You're
ago.
Surrounded by greatness right now,
I'm so staunchly against shitting on planes.
I shit on planes too.
Sometimes you have to. I mean, if you.
I feel like you go out of your way to shit on a plane. I'd be like,
I go out of my way to beat off on a plane.
I feel like the second you have to maybe shit, you're like, I'm shitting on this plane. All right.
Well.
I feel like you have full comfortability.
I have no compunction, but yeah, if I have to shit, I have to shit.
What does compunction mean again?
Just means like you're not gonna like a.
He's not gonna be nervous. Like a, there's no problem doing it.
There's nothing. Okay. There's no other part of my head being like, don't shit on this plane.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to me was this pretty girl was sitting next to me, and I went to the bathroom to take a shit. I'm in there. You know, you could tell that everybody's like, oh, he's been in there a few minutes. He's taking a shit. You're kind of insecure about the amount of time spent in there. I'm like, they all know I'm taking a shit. And sure enough, as I exit the bathroom, she's waiting to use the bathroom, and it just smelled like the end of the world. And then I had to sit back next to her the whole flight and just as she just smelled my in your just
you should have been like, did you smell that?
I know, I was trying to think of how
you had to. Yeah,
that I little know. Girl who was in before me for 2 seconds was like, shit her fucking brains girl. Out. Yeah, that's rugged, man. Yeah, when a strange woman has to, even I've done that at like a bar before comedy shows. A lot of the clubs will be like, well, we don't have like a bathroom. It's like the regular bathroom. We have a restaurant next door. You can take a shit. And I'm like, right on. And then you just crush that with like a nervous comedy dump. Then like you're just at a restaurant. So like
nervous comedy dump.
Oh, that's the thing. So is it because the nerves before a show, you have to take a shit? Is that a thing? Like, but that's in your early years of comedy. You don't get the nerves like that?
No,
it still happens. Still happens?
Yeah.
I'm give or take. I'm like every time lately I've been getting not as many.
It is not like it used to be.
Yeah, but this weekend.
It used to be every single time.
Yeah, this weekend I crushed a.
So this is a podcast about farting and shitting. Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah. And other stuff.
We're
going to
get into Emmanuel Macron's
we'll get to that later.
Possible male wife.
What's going on with first ladies right now?
First ladies are down bad, dude.
The first ladies are having a tough time.
Why everyone's just accusing them of having cocks. I don't get it.
It's crazy. Who else? Now, this is going to spawn in the news. There's an effect. Whenever the one story gains traction, yeah. there's going to be just more and more and more. So I'm excited.
They better not come to Dr. Jill.
The French there and there's some other shit. The French, like, I kind of not as surprised, I guess.
Well, Macron, yeah, they're like, you know, origin story as the one they say is the one. They're always like, it's pedophilia. It's like, that's the French theater.
True.
It's the French theater.
You know what you're getting into.
30-year-old woman falling in love with a 16-year-old boy. That's France.
That's right. French theater.
Let the French be great. That's their thing of being disgusting freak perverts.
Yes.
So it's like.
Absolutely.
I'm not against. I hear that and I go, hey, that's France, man.
And isn't the term pedophilia, textual term for pedophilia means like, I thought it was like prepubescent. So it's like a 15, 16-year-old. Is that technically pedophilia or is it before puberty?
It's
would
a febophile.
It's a what?
A febophile.
What's that?
And a febophile is you're like, it's like a. Pedophile, yeah, like you were saying, it's not prepubescent. It's like if you're like in teens, you're in a febophile.
Okay, but no one ever uses that one. Like when they talk about Epstein Island, when it's like a 17-year-old, they're saying pedophile. Sounds a lot worse. And I'm like, you know what? This has been going on forever. 17-year-old chicks with rich old white dudes. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's good, but that has happened forever. Yeah. That's not the biggest crazy story that's happening. Like, yeah, that happens forever.
Yeah, I think they had like a nice, I think he was doing pretty much everything. It was probably just a little pedo, a little afibo.
I think they were tossing in some pedo.
Yeah, I think he was rocking pretty young. Oh, was he? Okay. He was like 13, 12.
Yeah.
And then obviously he probably, you know, cleanses palate on some afibs as well. But.
Was that list ever come out? What are we talking about?
They're going to hold it over our heads for the rest of our lives.
Everyone's like, the list is coming. It's coming. And I don't know what to believe anymore.
What I do is I assume everybody's on it
Right. Yeah.
Anyone who I go, I don't like your political opinions. I go, there we go.
You must be a fucking pedophile.
I knew you from somewhere. You must be on that huge pedophile list that's looming over the national imagination.
You're either a pedophile or a Nazi. It's one of those.
True.
I can't figure out which one.
We might go to war. That might be World War III.
The American Civil War will be pedophiles versus Nazis. and no quarter for prisoners.
And just transverse ladies.
Transverse ladies are going to be like, go, charge. The trans pedophile first ladies are going to be the fucking commanders of the Civil War, dude. German charge.
They'll have the longest spiking horns. They'll just have hats with giant deer antlers.
Going against fat Nazis. The fat Nazis are going to be crazy.
Is there fat Nazis? I guess there's American fat the American Nazis. But the German ones were all. The German ones were pretty lean. Like, you didn't see any fat Nazis.
Well, they were running a tight program.
They always had to suck in their stuff.
They had some big dogs at the top.
Yeah.
I think Hess was a fucking unit.
Was he really?
One of the guys was a fucking slob.
Wasn't Hitler known for having really bad flatulence? Isn't that a thing?
Hitler was.
He had really bad gas.
My mom told me that when I was farting a lot. She's like, you know who farted a lot? Hitler. And I was like, all right, thanks.
Yeah, he was on a cocktail of like meth and he was getting like towards the end, he was just jacked up. You see the footage of him and he's just tweaking out on meth. There's an amazing documentary called High Hitler. And it was about his drug use and his doctor that was with him all the time that everyone hated. He was this annoying doctor, but he gave him his cocktail of meth and opiates. And it got to the point towards the end where he would have to, in bed, like get shot up just to get out of bed of a cocktail of drugs. Yeah, this documentary is amazing. I haven't been able to find it. I saw it years ago, but it was probably on the internet somewhere. But yeah, High Hitler about the drugs.
You can see him at the Olympics. That sounds awesome. The 36 Olympics. He's sitting there when he's like, just,
yeah. And they were saying it was like his.
He was amped.
Not Parkinson's, or they were saying it was something, but it was really like he was just tweaking.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, they gave all the Nazis meth.
Yeah, I knew they gave
the boys. Created it, right? Or was it the Japanese first did it, and then it was these Japanese or Germans? So two of the thirds of the Axis of Evil were creating it.
I'm not sure.
You like that I knew what Axis of Evil was,
that
didn't
was nice.
You? And Italy's the third. I'm not that good at history, but I knew that one.
That was good.
Yep.
Here's the thing I don't like. When they put, like, he had bad farts on Adolf.
Yeah. What do you think?
They're always like, yeah, you know, he had fucking herpes and he was gay and he farted a lot. It's like, dude, he killed 6 million people. That's the one we should stick with. We don't need to add stuff.
Yeah, true. Well, they're just trying to make him seem as like not as cool as possible, too.
He has a huge loser. Bad farts on meth, dude. Going nuts, dude. Chill.
Farts synonymous with meth? You would think that's not.
I would think they would just, you know, it's like you're probably tweaking and just pushing that shit out all day.
True. That's a good point as well.
It's just,
yeah, that's.
You ever taken Adderall? That's the same shit. I've done that before, which is
you
just
fart
like,
hard on it though.
That's yeah.
You can take some decent craps.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I guess so. If your nervous system's all ramped up, you're gonna. Yeah. So World War II was essentially alcohol versus meth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they would stay up for 2 or 3 days and not need to eat. They had the advantage.
Alcohol reigns supreme, though, again.
They won, yeah. So,
in what sense?
It fueled the Roman Empire. It fueled the allies. I mean, alcohol continues to dominate.
Yeah.
Other than the Irish.
Yeah.
But the British are
The fact that Ireland's still a country, it didn't
get they're holding on strong.
Yeah, people invaded it. I think three major invasions in Ireland? And then the British, too.
Yeah, they had the Vikings.
Yeah, the Vikings. A lot. Germanics, maybe. I forget. But and the Brits.
The Saxons, but that was into
that's kind of
whatever.
Yeah,
I just saw something. It was like the Vikings were on drugs when they would, you know, hoard and rape and pillage, and they're on psychedelics. You know, there's all these theories about like when you hunt, you would take the mushrooms to
berserker. Yeah,
yeah.
That's like become a very common theme lately with history, and I don't understand why.
I mean, I guess how do you prove that? I don't know if it's true, but you know, it makes sense that you could use some psychedelics to help you with your, you know, hunting or whatever.
Or you could be born in the fucking woods and live in the woods your whole life.
That's
and then
true.
Be a fucking retarded guy and somebody hands you an axe.
Well, it would have been like back then, that would have been like taking mushrooms and going to a sports game. Like back then, like murdering and raping and pillage was like, no one would have been like, yeah, this is fucked. They're probably like, fuck.
I wonder how much knowledge they had over that shit.
The what?
And ability to get a lot of it to give to people.
Oh, like grow the mushrooms?
Yeah.
They're probably just wild. I think they just...
Yeah, they find them in the cow shit. Imagine being a hot...
That's true.
Imagine how hard it must have been to be the hot Viking girl in a village and how much she's just like, I'm getting raped a lot, you know? Like be super hot. Like I feel like were women as hot back then or are they getting hotter? Because I feel like women are getting hotter. By getting their face done or whatever.
They're getting hotter, but dudes were horny.
There must have been like a really hot girl in like the mountains of... Wait, I missed that one. What'd you say?
Girls have definitely gotten hotter, but dudes were hornier back then. So it's kind of relative.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
because rape was not illegal until not that long ago, right?
I think rape. Was
I
pretty
think
illegal.
I think it was frowned upon. It was probably. I mean, the biblical times they were kind of like,
yeah, they'll kill you.
Yeah, but it was like you could go to enemy territory and kind of like
right.
That's when it's
The Vikes.
That's
couldn't
when it's
like
expected.
Yeah, the Vikes couldn't like microdose at home and go like just like rape everybody in their village. Everyone's like, bro, what the fuck?
What does it mean to pillage?
Dude, I'm so high.
What does it mean to pillage? Is that like rummage through the shit
taking
after you
stuff.
Rape them?
Yeah, taking their stuff.
Taking their
loot and booty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to
history. I had a history professor that
pillaging would be sick.
That said booty all the time.
Did he really?
Yeah, we would talk anytime we were talking about war, he'd be like, and then of course they gathered all the booty.
what pirate booty? Crazy. Is that what that is? Like what is booty?
Just shit. It's just stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
You ever thought about guarding your booty? Do you have any booty here?
I don't have that much booty. I have my precious sword.
I saw that, dude.
Take that out. You're gonna
I didn't. I
you're
didn't
want to get a gander at that.
I didn't.
Have you seen this thing yet?
No.
It's my West Point.
You know, sword's an acronym, right?
This is how I always open swords. I don't know about you guys. But I go a little bit, and I go.
Take a look at that, dude. Damn, it's very dull, dude. It's a show blade.
Yo, that's nice, man.
It's a parade blade. Yes.
Oh God.
Look at the handle, dude. It's pretty sick.
I was in here admiring it, but I, you know, that's my manners. I was like, I'm not going to touch a sword.
That's duty on a country, bro.
That's fucking nasty.
Is that like a replica remake or is that a real relic?
I don't know. There's some gentleman from the West Point gave me that. They honored my service.
Damn, that's awesome, dude.
I honor your service, too. Thank you for your service.
No problem, man. That. It was really hard.
Probably was difficult.
Is there East Point?
Probably.
Yeah, where the
East
fuck is
Point,
East Point?
Smoke some dank.
That thing was sick. I was in here admiring it, and I went. I was about to. I was
you
like,
should have,
hold
dude.
On.
Nah. I appreciate
the
you,
house
your
is sword.
Prudence.
My prudence. The house is sword. I went, man. Dude,
I'm just morphing into James at this point. I got a little bit of money. It's time to buy swords and and fusion frenzy.
You gotta start hitting the Instagrams. You're just in a dark room like, his Instagrams are for real the best.
Have you ever had a friend come over and he won't stop farting on your couch, but it is funny. So I'm wondering in the comments if you think what I should do here.
Oh my God. Yeah, he is the motherfucking
he rocks.
Main.
James dude. Rocks.
Oh, man. What a beast.
Oh, I like defense. Just by based on your impression, are you talking about the dude from Love on the Spectrum?
Yes.
Dude, good impression.
Thanks, man.
And I just recently found the girl who's the, I found her Instagram, followed her yesterday. I can't remember her name. She's like the cute one that went to Africa on the safari.
Danny.
Oh, she is awesome, so dude. Lovely. And her mom posts her.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, it's not really like exploitative. Is that the word?
No.
Yeah.
Is that right. The right pronunciation?
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing because it's like her mom's like, oh, look how cute what she says.
It's great.
It's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I told you when I came over here last time I stayed with you, I don't think a show has ever moved. No movie could move me as much as any episode of Love on the Spectrum. Like, I'll cry.
I'll cry every time, dude.
You told me you... Okay,
I cry every time.
You cry. Like, you yeah. can't... If you, it is the most touching, moving, beautiful it thing. Is. Like, when they hold a hand. I'm like, can I hold your hand? Like, dude.
Yeah. And the dude, when the parents so see it, too, it's like, when the parents are like, parents, we're just happy you found someone.
Danny's
like,
mom gets me every fucking time.
Yeah. Which one?
The one you were talking about.
Oh.
The lady that's posting that stuff.
Oh, yeah. What's her name?
I forget her name. Yeah. The girl's name is Danny.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yes, the mom... The first episode they were in, like... They went outside and were like, would you like to go on a date? Or like, can we be boyfriend and girlfriend? They came back inside and told her. And then the mom was like, oh, that's great. And then it cut to just the mom talking to the camera and crying.
Yeah, that's right. I
it
saw
it. It was
that.
Like, oh,
or
fuck.
When they're in Africa overlooking the safari and they're like behind them, like choked up. It's just like, oh, dude.
Why do you think they fuck with medieval times so hard? Because I fuck with medieval times myself, bro. But I'm wondering, like...
Because that's where the inbred started that long ago. It's like deep DNA.
It's because they know what's good, dude.
They do.
They know exactly what's good.
Medieval times is...
Transformers. Medieval shit.
Yeah, for sure.
Lions.
All cartoons.
Wrestling.
Wrestling.
The new Mario Brothers movie.
They know what's good.
The new Mario Brothers movie.
It's going to be off the charts. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, they fuck with medieval times so hard. And it's like, I always wondered if it was just more of like a...
James got outshined on the last one. There's a new swordsman.
What?
There's another guy with a... Connor has a nasty sword collection.
What?
Yeah. I forgot how good... I went back and watched the Australian one with fucking...
Michael?
Michael's goated, dude. He's on the Mount Rushmore. He's on the Rushmore.
He's on the Rushmore.
But,
Mr. Plus.
What's his name? Kelvin. The Asian kid?
Yeah, he was so nice.
It's like, do you want hugs and kisses? Yes, please. Yes, I want hugs and kisses.
He's the one who went on a date and they busted out like Nintendo DSs and fucking ripped.
Yes.
Yeah, that was...
He's like, no, I don't. I'm waiting patiently. I'm not playing that shit. He's the one who... He has the camera in his room and he starts showing all his... He draws anime girls and shit. And it got to one that was like, it was just zoomed in on the tits that he drew.
That was his bae.
And the camera's next to him and he's like.
He's like, chill.
They're like, do you want us to leave now? He's like, yes.
Well, that's becoming more like common now. There's more, autism is spiking.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's just not Mother Nature being like, let's do a little reset on humanity. Because they are angels, dude.
Although
they can go evil.
They can go rogue.
They can go very rogue.
It's time to break the sword collection out at the bowling alley. It's time to fucking...
They live in a sick, sick world, though.
Has there ever been like a serial killer who's mentally challenged? What's the right
I
way
think
to say
probably
it?
All.
For sure, yeah.
There had to be one. I think, back in the day, just murdering and...
I don't know about serial, definitely killer. Maybe not.
Yeah,
I think
they would solve the crime pretty quickly. They'd be like, I know who did it. It's the...
Just a guy panting in a field. Yeah, it might be not serial, but I mean, an autist for sure could go on a nice run.
I think most of them are probably autistic.
Yeah,
most of them have personality disorders. This says,
yeah,
Cunanan might be the goat, dude.
Cunanan is
gay serial killer.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Did you see that show?
I remember when it happened, like in real time. That was like in the 90s in Miami. I remember when that shit was going down and they like chased him down. He was in the boat and everything, and he popped Versace on the steps of the house, right? And
yeah,
Andrew Cunanan. And the rapper refers to him
Shine. Yeah.
He talks about Cunanan.
Andrew Cunanan. He flipped some bar about Andrew Cunanan.
Damn.
Yeah.
That was
a hot bar.
Is it Bad Boys?
I can't remember.
Shine. I forget.
We listened to it in your car. Remember you skipped it. I'm like, go back to Shine. I was like, don't skip Shine. We had to go back.
Shine rules.
Shine became a Jewish, you know this in real life? He went to Israel and like after the puffy thing with the gun and all this shit. And now he is fully in Israel at the Wailing Wall with the whole thing. He's become like a devout Jewish like religious guy.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. Like you can look it up on the internet. He's like fully in Israel with the beanie and the not the pay assist. I don't think he could grow the thing, but he's like at the wall, at the Wailing Wall. And it's just like he must have done something bad to find religion that much and go that way. Like he must have killed
especially to find Judaism.
Yeah, prison Judaism is crazy. So I see going and finding.
Well, that was another thing. When I visited my friend in prison, I remember seeing this black dude with the Star of David. I brought my boy Burger King or McDonald's. He was at a fire camp for a while, and I brought him McDonald's, and I had to walk through this outdoor courtyard. And when I had that McDonald's in my hand, everyone looked at me, all these killers and fucking prisoners, like I had
dude,
McDonald's.
It's like when you get to leave during school and you come back with McDonald's for lunch.
Yeah.
That never leaves.
Dude, I had McDonald's through the
prison.
And I remember I had green pants on, and the warden was like, you can't come in here with those pants because they look close to the pants of the prisoners, because they thought I'd be doing a swap. So I'm like, I don't have it. And I had to go back to my car and put on these like basketball shorts just to enter to bring the McDonald's. And it was just like, imagine being in jail and getting McDonald's.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a good friend.
That is.
It was like a 3-hour drive.
That's awesome.
I forgot about the fire fucking
fire camp. Those are what they send you in first. It was like a program
California,
you could do when you to
what
get
is a fire camp?
You have to fight fucking wildfires.
They send you in first as a disposable prisoner? Hero, kind of like in Russia, what they're doing when they send the prisoners in first in the war. Kind of like that with fire. Like they send them in first. They're more disposable. But you want to go to fire camp because you get out of the
you have
outdoors kind of prison.
That'd be
kind of
cool, yeah. Fire camp would be sick, actually.
Yeah.
If you're bored out of your mind, I would be like, yeah, I'll go.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is scary. If that thing's
scary shit
you
ever.
Start losing the firefight.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah.
Yeah, I just murder the guy next to me and be like, take me back to jail.
I did a survival thing recently, a one-day survival crash course where you have to build a primitive shelter, make drinking water out of a stream, and start fire. And me and this dude together did it like with friction fire with sticks. Took about 4 hours. Me and this guy had to do it together. Forearms.
Pause.
So tired. But when you start that fire and the tinder goes and you create fire, maybe the best feeling you could ever imagine.
That's awesome.
To create fire. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah. So what was the shelter?
You just had to make like this little thing that, and then they have to approve it. And you basically just make like a little teepee type thing out of like brushes and sticks. And then you have to get water and boil. You have
to heat up these fire in the tent?
No. That'd be dope though. Imagine me farting in that tent for 20 minutes.
You could have fueled it, dude.
Oh, that's true.
You could have 20-second fucking fart into it.
I would have been like a resourceful person in the old days. That would have been like my survival thing. That we need this guy, yeah. And then I also just learned in prison, my boy told me this. Sorry to keep harping on this.
No, it's
great. He said if you fart, you'll get your ass beat in prison, so you have to fart on the toilet and flush it immediately. And if you don't, not kidding. If you don't, you're getting your ass beat. You're getting your ass beat if you just fart. Do you think a murderer and a cellmate says good morning? Like good morning or good night? I don't think they do that.
Would you put women on that program, though?
Yeah, that would be so, like, good morning. How do you say it? Yeah. Good morning.
I mean, a good night from a murderer in prison.
Oh, good night. Oh, that's even scarier.
Dude. Good night. You'd be like, nope.
Especially you'd be like,
nope, I'm up.
Good night.
And you'd be like, fuck.
Just fascinated with jail because I don't know what would be my survival thing. I'd have to be like a court jester and be like, maybe make them laugh to beat,
the
but then you might offend somebody. And
yeah.
That'd be, I don't think I'd bring the muscle. I'd have to bring something.
You gotta hit the books, become a jailhouse lawyer.
Yeah.
That'd be the move.
Yeah. Just fully go spiritual and learn and become like a monk.
Not bad too, I like to fantasize that I'd be actually. I mean, I don't like
shot
the food
caller.
Part. No, not that
you'd
at all.
You become a. You get it.
I think I'd be more like stowaway monk, where they'd be like, I don't know about that guy. I would try to go like. I would definitely get white boy crazy.
You could mentor a youngster though, eventually.
For sure.
Get old, become a bookworm.
That would be nice.
The youngster comes
reading
in.
Reading and working out. I would like that part
of
it.
Yeah, push-ups, reading.
Yeah.
Maybe pretend you're gay and then just bite a dude's dick off and they'll be like, you don't know, fuck with this dude.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
I wonder, I mean, guys.
For
that's
sure.
That's my plan.
Guys have to go for the bite the dick a lot. There's probably some harsh punishments.
What else
for
would
that.
You do? Yeah.
I mean,
if you'd
might
probably
have to
get
suck.
Kicked to death.
Yeah,
hard.
I think if you bite the dick, they're
John Wayne
like
Bobbitt. Remember that? John Wayne Bobbitt?
Yeah, yeah.
My stepdad, who I told you about, drank the mirror beer. He was like a radio personality in San Francisco, like a local kind of DJ on the radio. And he did stand up one night, and it was during the John Wayne Bobbitt time. And he says, John Wayne Bobbitt, he's just nuts.
It's funny. That's hilarious. That's actually really good.
Yeah, I remember being young, obviously, when that happened, and like it was just a joke. Everybody made that joke.
And then they sewed
his
dick
back on.
Not that
particular joke, but just like that guy doesn't have a dick anymore.
I know.
They sewed it back
on. Everyone
just
laughed at him.
They did sew it back on.
I think they sewed it back on.
Good for him. I heard it was huge too.
Really?
Must have been if they found it.
They found it. Exactly.
Finding it on the side of the roads.
They found it on the side of the road.
Yeah, crazy.
Was it hard? It couldn't have been hard anymore, so it was a soft little.
big, little you cut big off dick? A boner, does it turn flaccid?
Yeah, it's a good question. Does it stay like almost rigor mortis where it stays?
You think all the blood would rush out
and turn into your flaccid bird?
It would turn into the just skin.
Ooh. You guys wake up with wood ever still?
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah.
You guys know a penis is technically like a blood sponge. So like blood goes into it, it gets engorged. So it would stay engorged unless it's like squeezed.
So you just have to watch if someone cuts your penis off, you don't want someone coming around just fucking gripping it up. No. Jerk this thing. With the prison survival, would it be nice to, instead of biting the dick, just get like real nice a given dome?
Yeah.
But still keep it 100. Keep it 100. Would you be
just
like
sloppy toppy?
Be thugging. You'd be like foot up against the wall with your boys and be like, oh, I got you. Just fucking come through and just like,
You got to get, yeah. You got to become.
Yeah. All right. Yo. Catch you later, bro.
You got to become the throat goat so they don't, so you never get fucked. You make them pop before they fuck you.
That's a good point. But you could still keep your masculine, tough prison energy. Be like, all right, bro, I'll catch you later, dog.
Yeah. Yeah, one love. I bet one love. Come here.
Did you ever watch Wes Watson?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I had a podcast for a while. I had him on as a guest. Him and Charlie Sheen were my two highest ratings. Hundreds of thousands of views. You can look it up on YouTube. I had a show called Nervous Rex, and I had him on because I found him, and I was like, and I ended up hanging out with him because I had him on this pod. He came up from San Diego. He came up and did the pod, and he was just explaining. Because I'm fascinated with the prison stuff, and he was explaining all the politics and all this stuff. So I had him on the pod, and I remember I took him to lunch to Air One, which is like the bougiest like health food spot in LA. And I'm sitting with him in the car with Wes Watson, and I take him to get like an organic lunch. And I would go, at one point, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this dude is gnarly. But he ended up being the homie, and we stayed in touch. And like, I still hit him up once in a while.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
The big homie, Wes.
I'll get him on your pod if you want him.
Dude, I would love it. I've watched so much of his shit.
Matt's been on Watson for day one, his
videos, yeah, way back when he started doing like the walk in the yard, dude. He's my favorite dude. He makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah,
he works. I went on No Jumper and said that he hit him up. There's a guy on No Jumper that has a trans girlfriend, and then he hit up Wes.
Oh, like, I saw that guy. He's not gay.
He said, well, he's not gay.
Yeah,
but Wes, he hit up Wes, and he went on the thing like he just called me gay. It's so funny, dude. Well, it is funny because he's been in prison for 10 fucking years.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's hit him up and he was like, yo, you're fucking gay. Shut up.
What's funny is that he was really into snowboarding when he was younger. Yeah, and my boy was a pro snowboarder. And he was like, he saw that I posted my friend Nate Bozung. He's like this legendary snowboarder. And Wes was like, dude, you know, like he was starstruck by my boy. He's like, I rode with him before. That dude's a legend. And it was funny, like picturing him as a young snowboarder. He was really good. He was like semi-pro or pro snowboarder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard he was nice. It'd be funny if he was still that jacked.
I know.
Just fucking
Jack snowboarding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fuck you. Fuck.
So much fucking air.
But yeah, he's the man, dude. Have you followed him still? His like arc now he's on where he's just like, he's
I watched
so
the whole
now.
Thing blow up. I was like the first one to find him.
It's awesome.
I don't know how I found him, just in my algorithm of looking at prison shit or whatever. And I just hit him up and he was down. He drove up from San Diego and had him on the pod. It was a cool conversation. He was like breaking down. I'm just fascinated with that shit, man. It's just so not me that I'm just like, yo.
That's scary.
It's scary shit. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you have to do all, like, you have to become, like get into, like, the white gang politics and all that stuff, you know, because that's got to be tough. Especially now, having to do now, like, if you did, like, all this work on yourself, you became, like, super lib, and then all of a sudden you go to, like, California prison, you're like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
I have to start from scratch and be a
super
white supremacist.
Damn, back to the fucking home base, dude. I worked so hard.
Yeah, because some states aren't as race-related, but I guess California and maybe Texas are. Maybe I shouldn't speak on that about Texas, but I think that they're very race. Like you go with your race, and it's really like that in California. My boy told me you can't even bump potatoes with the black dude, which means like give a pound. Like you can't even do that there.
Because that's a crazy way to say potatoes. Pound.
Because you that's can't even do hanging that. With the others, you know.
Yeah. Damn. Well, it was nice for him because then he got out and was just like, look, I don't have to. Because people try to spaz on him for it, and he was just like, dude, if you went to prison, you'd have to do the same. You'd have to do 88 burpees. And it is, I've been working out a lot, and it is tempting to rip 88 burpees. It has nothing to do with Aryan
Brotherhood. It's just a good number.
It just would be fun to be like, okay, cool.
What is that, Hail Hitler 88?
Yeah, well, that's, he would say they'd all do like 88 burpees and 20, you know, it was all like 23 white or whatever. But it is just like, it's a, you know, it's like a fun thing to keep in your head. Like, it's a fun goal. Race politics aside,
I wonder where the term burpees come. What's the origin of that word, burpees? What is
it? I don't know. That's a good question.
Was it military first or was it a prison thing? Probably military.
That's a good question. Can we get a? I'd like to know.
It's actually an acronym.
Your acronym check before the podcast was pretty nice.
Yeah,
that is a very fun thing to do.
It is fun.
What does burpees come from?
It's the name of the guy who invented it. Ah. He was a physiologist from New York City in the 30s, and he invented the burpee.
He invented burpees?
As a part of his fitness test.
What?
A fun
They're fact. Hard, man.
Yeah they are hard.
That's no joke, dude. And the form, you got to get the form right. There's like a, you do
it
wrong.
You don't jump when you come up. That's weirdo shit. That's according to Wes Watts. That's big homie.
Really? The jump up top?
We don't jump up top. That's weirdo shit.
All right, good. I'm glad to get rid of that. I'm all right getting rid of that.
Yeah, that's weirdo shit, dude. You can't do the jump up top. I do the jump up top.
The jump up top's tough, dude.
The jump up top's crazy. But now I know it's weirdo shit. I don't do it anymore. Damn, that's fucking sick. You're chilling with the big homie.
Yeah.
He is the man, dude. He is a fascinating character.
That's the thing about Simon. Every time I hang out, you've done so much shit.
Yeah, I've had a pretty crazy life.
Like last night, pause, the song My Dick.
Yeah.
I was going to just say, last night, my dick.
It's funny because you get a lot of trouble saying that. I remember when for people watching or listening, our big song when I was doing my music stuff was called My Dick. And that was our biggest party song. And I remember we got signed to this with Interscope Records, and there was this executive, and like the song was like a demo. And he was like, all right, but you know, the song's good, but it needs some work. There's a few holes in my dick. So people always say like you gotta be careful.
Like, last night,
he's like, there's
dick.
A few holes. He wanted to fix the mix on it was bad and all these things, but it just sounded so funny. But yeah, that's the anthem, man. And then I showed you the one from the war, the 1980 with the soldiers. That cool. Shit's crazy.
Yeah, a bunch of guys. Was that Afghanistan?
I think it must have been, because it must have been like 2008. So yeah, Afghanistan, 2007, something like that. And all these soldiers made a video. It's on YouTube. If you just type in 1980 dirt nasty, maybe U.S. military, whatever, will pop up. And it's the soldiers made a music video, like in their downtime, in tanks, fully fatigues, doing like funny things. And they're doing my song. And it was like, awesome. And I remember I was working at Happy Madison at the time, and Sandler loved it. He was just so pumped. He's like, that's the best compliment you could get. He was like, proud American. They motherfuckers got your shit out there. You should be stoked.
That's awesome.
That is pretty tight. So what instrument? Do you play instruments? You're just singing and
I have an MPC, which is... it's a drum machine, so I don't know how to play any instruments.
Break it out on a plane.
That's right. I busted it out on the plane, dude. When we first kind of started hanging out. We met on Bupkis, and we were actually on a flight to Austin before we moved here for South by Southwest. And we were sitting next to each other, and you had your little Nintendo. You were playing a game on Nintendo, and I busted out my big MPC, and I'm making beats because it's just like hunting and pecking. It's like almost like if you're typing, you're just like D-d-d-d. So it's really, I don't know how to play an instrument, but I listened to enough rap as a kid to emulate a beat. So I made that song My Dick in 5 minutes. It went platinum. I have a platinum plaque on my wall. 1 million sold, and I made the beat in 5 minutes. And then of course there's like a metaphor for life. Like if you're okay, 8 o'clock Saturday, we're gonna go in and make a hit, and you overthink it. No, you're not. It happened because it was just like a happy accident. Like I just made a beat. My boy actually, Andre Legacy, he's like, oh, I got an idea for a song. It's called My Dick. And I was like, let me guess what it's about. He's like, no, it'll be like My Dick, you know, yo dick, like. And I was like, that's a horrible idea. So I was like, let me just make a beat to shut you up. So I just made a beat to shut him up, and that was our biggest song of all time.
That's crazy.
I know.
That's awesome.
I want to play it.
It was on Harold and Kumar. It's been on like American Dad. That's where you make the money. What I learned in the music industry is if you make a song, you produce it, you get 50% of the royalties right out of the gate as the producer of the song.
Really?
Then I'm rapping on it too. So you get a third. It was three of us. So I get a third. So I made like 66 cents on any dollar that was made on that song. Whoa. So if it got licensed by American Dad, I got a nice little paycheck for a 5 minute song. I was like, this is how you make money, because no one really buys music that much anymore.
Yeah.
You got to go on the road and sell merch. I imagine it's kind of, you guys probably have the same with merch. That's where you clean up. But
dude. Yeah, my brother was saying he knew somebody, like through someone he knew, who just makes like the music for like between scenes and football games and shit. And he makes a ton of fucking money.
Yeah,
that's just where weird, it's at. Just weird, like one-off things for like TV shows, and he's like, "That's all he does."
Yeah,
pretty cool.
But yeah, that's how me and Shane, man, we did Bupkis, and
we had met briefly before that.
Did we? Where?
The Comedy Cellar.
Oh, we did.
I remember that. Yeah,
my bad.
But no, we didn't. We didn't really hang out.
I love going to the Cellar, man. Yeah, that's the best spot.
It is.
I'm a comedy nerd. I go to the Store all the time. Me and Jeff Ross went the other night and because at the Cellar or the Store on any given night, you will just get the best live entertainment back to back to back to back. It's fucking magical. I feel like it's so cool to see stand up being so big right now too. It's like you guys are just crushing. I love it. It's awesome.
It's big.
It's like bigger
it might
than ever.
Be too big. In my opinion,
because people want live shit now.
The mothership's nice now. Yeah. It's right there with those. And these two are the heir apparent to the mothership. I mean, these guys, Gardini and Lemaire, they can't get enough.
They're there all the time.
It's rock star lifestyle every fucking day.
That green room's dangerous though. The smelling salts.
These guys,
yeah, dude. Green. The smelling salts we did, dude. Woo!
You guys
they
run
are.
Austin.
They're rock star lifestyle. They're elite Austin.
You guys are Uday and Kuse. These are my fucking nasty little sons.
Drinking and carrying on,
fighting, slapping kissing, people, kissing. Pushing, kissing.
Yeah, it's pretty wild what you guys have done.
We were doing some wrestling chops the other night.
Yeah, of course. You guys are roughhousing all the time.
Awesome. It is. It's like ancient Greece. Isn't there wrestling, drinking wine, kissing?
Sack of wines. Matter of fact, it was that trip that was open. It was like the soft opening of the mothership. Chappelle did a set.
Yes.
That was that weekend. It had just opened, but it wasn't like officially open. It was like the first time it had opened doors.
It was 1 year ago.
Wow. That was only. Yeah,
it was literally I got to 1 year ago. Yeah.
I felt like, oh, this is cool. I'm like, this is legendary. I'm in the green room first
weekend.
I got
to bomb on the little boy. I was the first comic to go on the small room.
That's so fucking funny.
And I got to open for Chappelle. And I just, you know. Took one right on the fucking chin in front of everybody to christen the room.
You broke the whole room in.
Yeah. No.
That room's fucked up though, because you think you're like 150 people. I'm gonna smash.
Yeah, I'm about
here.
To slaughter.
The first couple times in there, it's just bad.
I'm
I did
do
terrible.
So well.
I did so bad the first month I was in there. Consistently.
That's the room that's not the balcony room. Yeah. That's the other small one. I like that room.
Now it's fun. Now I like it, but it's weird. That must have been real pressure. If I knew anyone was watching me, I'd be like,
yeah, they're like, this is it. This is the first show on this stage.
Dave Chappelle's watching.
And it's like, it's just you and Dave Chappelle just open.
Oh. Yeah, that'd get you nervous. That would get my hiney hole puckered up.
Yep. It was puckered.
It was puckered.
And it was just like comedians and Chappelle and his group.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of cool people in the room to bomb in front of.
Yeah, it's the worst. I think I might be hitting a point though in my adult life where I'm like, whatever like physical material is producing anxiety, I don't think I can make it as much anymore. Like I can't afford to stress over certain things. Like I just can't. So I think it might just be like a psychotic, like a light psychotic break.
What do you mean?
Cause I was like, I'll like stress. Like if I'm like, oh, I'm here at the show or like someone's watching, I'll get kind of like, ugh, and like my brain just did a thing where it's like, I just can't afford to be stressing out this hard anymore.
That's nice.
Where I can just be like, I'm just gonna try it. I've been trying to get more into the spirit of erotic play.
Of just that makes sense.
Not so much where it's work, it's just play. I'm telling you, I think it's the key.
Erotic play.
Just play in general. Yeah, just not like sexual, but like an erotic element to what you're doing.
Neurotic or erotic?
Erotic. Mm. I'm trying to take it with the neurotic away with the erotic.
Very sexual.
Yeah.
Sexual play.
Just trying to recapture childhood innocence, really. Rather than all this business and all this fucking
personality. Yeah, that's what
happens.
That's what it loses the fun when it becomes work sometimes.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, it definitely does.
You gotta play.
I need to play. That's all I've been saying.
It's just start going out there and be like, tee hee hee. Hello, Chicago. Tee hee hee.
You know I hit the tee hee hees.
Did you really?
Yeah, I always do. No. I was up there going, hee hee.
No. Hi, guys. Tee hee hee.
It's around there. I'm doing that.
Nice.
Roughly.
You're going out there going,
yeah, I get a lot of that. I go, wow, what a great audience.
Yeah, true.
Wow. Wow, you guys are so awesome. Wow.
I remember back in the day, I used to go to the Cellar in the 90s, and I'd see Chappelle and Bill Burr performing in front of 12 people at 1 in the morning. And I remember, like, they hadn't blown up yet. This is, like, before the Chappelle show, even. And I remember Chappelle, this is like back in the days before Uber and everything, where they wouldn't pick up a black guy in a cab. It was like racist cab drivers. So Chappelle would be like, hey, Simon, go hail a cab. And I'd hail the cab and then he'd get in.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And damn. I was on tour with, well, I was hanging out with Jeff Ross and Chappelle in Paris.
Angry African driver.
Yeah. But I just thought that's so awesome that I was like the white guy to hail the cab. And then, yeah, I was recently, Jeff Ross opened for Chappelle for like 5 shows in Paris, and I was out there working and I got to go hang with them and was hanging with Chappelle and reminded him of that. He had no memory of that whatsoever. Oh, but I was like, dude, it was pretty awesome.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is funny. Be like, remember that? Be like, no.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, I've stopped also saying nice to meet you because I a lot of times say nice to meet you.
Yeah.
It's a big topic. You have to say nice to see you because at least then they say, oh, we haven't met. But then they know if you're full of shit. So that's a big problem for me because we can't remember this many fucking people. It's
I've always been bad with people's names and faces and I always go, oh, nice to meet you. And they're like, oh, we actually met. I'm like, I feel so bad.
I just did that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually, that wasn't the first time we met, but.
Yeah, that's right.
I think I just go delighted. I'm like, delighted.
Oh, the pleasure.
I'm so delighted. Oh, and I kiss all the way up their arm. Like, I'm so delighted to see you. What a pleasure.
You're so sweet.
Maybe you could just say, hey, nice to see you. What's the safe way to do it? Nice to, not again. Nice to see.
I just go, the pleasure is all mine. And then I kiss them.
The pleasure is all yours. And then slap them. Yeah.
Nah, you got to hit him with just a hey.
Yeah.
Hey. I got to name drop. I got to do a movie with Leslie Nielsen, Scary Movie 3. And I was just like, dude, this is Leslie Nielsen. Like, and he was at this point pretty senile. And he still walked around with a fart machine, like the little Play-Doh one. And like there'd be like craft service, like a lady bending over, putting something. He'd walk behind her and make the fart thing and like walk away. I'm like, he still got it. And he would get David Zucker, who did Airplane, Naked Gun, wrote Scary Movie 3. He'd be like, Hey, Leslie, you remember so-and-so? And then he would say, nice to meet you. And they'd say, oh, no, we met before. And he'd always say every time, oh, yes, how could I forget? That was what he said.
That's such a nice line.
Oh, yes, how could I forget?
Those are in my algorithm right now. Just Leslie Nielsen,
dude.
Just everything he said was so fucking funny.
Well, so he told me, David Zucker told me he came into audition for Police Squad, whatever the first thing was, is Frank Drebin. I think it was a TV show first, or maybe it was for Naked Gun, but he came in and they had seen him in a movie as a dramatic actor. And they said they thought he was so funny because he was doing his serious thing and they thought it was funny. So he came in and auditioned, but he was doing a comedic performance and they weren't laughing. Like, no, just read it serious like you do in those other movies that we've seen.
Yeah.
And they said he just read it deadpan and they're on the floor and they're like, you got the job.
Damn.
Because he was just not trying to be funny. He was just committed down the line. Play it straight. It's funny because the writing's funny. And then you could look this up online too. There's a thing called the Zazz 15 Rules of Comedy. So for all those movies, there's 15 rules of comedy you have to abide by for the comedy to work. One of the rules being if there's a joke going on in the background, like in the back of a police car, if you're getting attacked by bees, you can't do a joke in the foreground because it negates the joke behind you. So they have these rules. So I would try to improv and add something, be like, cut, no, like Simon, rule 7. And it's like they had rules that were like the rules of how to do their movies. That's how serious they were about the comedy. And even like in the delivery of a line, like I'd say a line, he's like, no, Simon, it's ... Then the line, like the pause is that important. It was like music. It was like writing music.
Yeah, they were like classical slapstick stuff.
Yeah, and it did, because comedy is kind of musical in the delivery. And it was just a cool way to work. It was just like, and I remember Kevin Hart was kind of just coming up and we would shit in each other's trailer was our joke, be him and Anthony Anderson, and not flush it. So I'd get to work a little early and take a shit in Kevin Hart's trailer and not flush it. And I would just hear him go, oh, damn it, Simon. That was my Kevin Hart impression. We would shit in each other's trailer, man. And
that's
I remember
awesome.
Watching Kevin Hart going, this guy's going to make it. Because I remember thinking he knew how to work the room. He was so good at talking to everybody. He was so like, I just remember thinking he's gonna do more things than this small role in this movie. Cut to arenas.
True that.
Yeah.
Little Kev.
Little motherfucking Kev.
We should probably switch over.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's switch over to the Patreon.
Bye.
Simon, you're the man.
Oh, yeah, man, dude, thank you.